Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Today, I am super excited to bring someone back. Yes, it's another repeat guest, Nick Sinutko, who was formerly with the amazing Campfire in Carlsbad, California, but has moved on to Atelier Mana, which is in my hometown. It's actually in Leucadia. I'm from Encinitas, where Nick lives. So this is kind of a comfort food episode for me, but it's always great to talk to Nick, and he's currently doing zero-proof cocktails with brunch at Mana. So he's working exclusively in that space until another space the same owners are opening. Until that comes along, that's going to be a little bit later. And that is an enterprise from skater Tony Hawk. We'll talk about that a little bit, but right now let's talk with Nick about making like farm to glass non-spirit cocktails and so much more, like his band Drug Hunt, which you're going to hear some later. So sit back and relax. Here's me and Nick and our hometown vibes. Let's do the thing. Just introduce yourself and where you're working and a little quickie on what you're up to these days.
Sure. My name is Nick Sinutko, and I'm based out of Encinitas, California right now. I am hometown girl right there.
Yeah.
in the middle of opening up some projects, it was initially supposed to be one, and then we were waiting so long to get permits from the city, we opened up a whole other restaurant. So that's what I'm doing right now. It's called Atelier Mana, and it is a tiny little test kitchen culinary workshop right on the coast in Leucadia. And we are doing brunch out of there 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. I previously was working at Campfire. And we talked a lot about that last time. Yeah. So that's where I'm at now.
I'll say that, you know, you're one of the very, very few people who've been on the podcast twice. And when we spoke before, very few, Nick, so few. And when we spoke before, it was mostly around Campfire. So, you know, I still think that kind of background is valid, but I love that now you're working. Is it exclusively now in the NA space?
Yes. And that is partly just due to circumstance. we came across this building. It's called Mana for, there's really two like meanings to the word. And Chef Andrew is the one who kind of owns the space with his wife. One of the meanings is kind of like the Polynesian version of Mana, sort of like talking about the spirit and like the force of energy all around. And the other one is more of a biblical allegory where it talks about sort of this nourishment that rained down from the sky. in a time of need.
Yeah.
Not that there like is a really strong like religious presence to what we're doing, but you know, that is what the space was. We had really been struggling to get into Chicken Hawk, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Just with like the city and permitting and fundraising and neighbors and kind of all the stuff that comes along with opening a new place. And this space came along and it was turnkey. We were able to get in there and just kind of make it into something that was creatively fulfilling for all of us and get to serve food to the community and make food and drink that was nourishing. But it doesn't have a beer and wine or liquor license attached to it. So him, Chef Andrew, bringing me in as the beverage guy, I had to really think about, okay, what can I do in this space that's gonna like resonate with the message of this place, that food is medicine and having nourishment as being like a central tenet of what we do. And how do I bring my background in fine dining and craft cocktails and natural wine, and how do I translate that into this tiny little building? And what it turned into was me sort of doing this like rotating menu of what we're calling vitality tonics. And they look just like cocktails. They are beautiful and colorful and vibrant. And they're really just made with the stuff that I'm able to get from the farms. So it could be something that's like carrot and sunflower miso and turmeric and lemon. Or I mean, I think I've done 33 different cocktails at this point. So it's been a test, but it's also been a huge learning experience in a lot of ways. So that's the summary, I guess, before I go off
That's,
on a tangent.
I was going to say that, I mean, that's a lot, but you have, I mean, I know, not everyone listening to this heard your original podcast because that aired probably like 3 years ago or something like
Sure.
that. So if you don't mind doing another summary, roll back into like kind of what, when you got started in bartending in general, because you have been bartending for a while. And notably, the last spot you were at is one of these now nationally recognized places. If people want to come to to Southern California, they're in San Diego. Campfire was one of those spots that winds up on lists and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so honored and grateful to have been a part of that place and the people I met there. And obviously, Chef Andrew has a part of that story as well. So, yeah, just to back it up, I think I got to the industry a little bit later than some people did. I worked every kind of job you can imagine, every version of retail. I was an aspiring dog nutritionist at one point. I worked at a bookstore. It took me a while to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. And despite, I don't know, my own self-imposed reservations, I ended up in the restaurant industry. And I started a place called Iris, tiny little beach restaurant. And I was given way too much control over that place. And I got to do any kind of menu I wanted. Cost wasn't really an issue. My owners were just kind of like, yeah, just, do your thing. And I learned a lot there. It got to a point where I wanted to get into a bigger pond, and I knew some guys at Campfire, and I started there and realized I didn't know anything despite me thinking everything. So I had some great mentors there, one of them being Layla Kapp, and all of the other amazing people I worked with there. And over the years, I started as a bartender. I took over the wine program as wine director, which is when we last talked. And grew that into something pretty special, I feel. At some point, I took over the entire bar program and was kind of running the team there, and we did some incredible things. And it got to a point where, again, I just kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of factors, and it felt, I was like, I was being pulled away from it, and I just needed a change of scenery. So I had some feelers out. I knew that Chef Andrew, who was the opening chef of Campfire and Jeune, who had since stepped away, was opening a place called Chicken Hawk here in Leucadia with Tony Hawk. So I reached out to him just kind of softly, like, hey man, we live 2 blocks away from each other. If you're looking for anybody, let me know. One thing led to another, and we started talking, realized that our kind of values and missions were aligned, and here we are. So now we're working together, and we're really excited about what we're building.
That's very cool. I have to do the SoCal girl detour to Tony Hawkland.
Yeah, sure.
So Chicken Hawk, I know you were talking about before, is something that they've been trying to open that forever in that old space. Like, what is it, the old Mexican space, like up there on Leucadia Boulevard?
Yeah,
Right.
Philonos.
And I know I hear about just the agony that that space has created for everyone for a long time. I think even before you guys got involved. But is that, right now you're working in an NA space. Is Chicken Hawk going to offer drinks, cocktails as well, or is that going to be more just a
Absolutely, yeah. That'll be a full comprehensive bar program, and I'll really get to sort of go everywhere that I wanted to go at Campfire, but just with like a new perspective. And we really want to, it's going to be fun and accessible and a cool place for the community to come hang out and have like great cocktails. But we're also going to push the envelope a little bit and do some like kind of subversive things, because it wouldn't be skateboarding culture if you weren't trying to fuck with people.
Right? I was
So
gonna say it's Chicken Hawk. You put his name right in there.
we're very excited. And there's going to be a big NA presence there as well. It really has changed my perspective doing this. When I first started, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little, I don't know, not bummed, but I was like, okay, I guess I'm a mocktologist now. It was a bit of what my identity was, making craft cocktails and being so involved in wine over the years. And I don't know, I didn't quite have the appreciation that I have for it now, where whether you're not a drinker at all, or maybe you used to and you're choosing not to, whatever your relationship with alcohol is, I think you deserve to have a nice treat, and like you deserve to have someone make you something that is made with care and great ingredients and love. And you don't, everyone should be able to enjoy that regardless of where you are in your life. So that's really changed my perspective. So now anywhere I go from here on out, I think it's going to be a big part of what I do, is to have that inclusivity built into any menu that I make.
Absolutely. I mean, in the last few years, this conversation has just grown and grown and grown in the hospitality industry anyway. And when we opened up our bar going on 5.5 years, we were like, we're having any just a couple any options, on there, so that if someone shows up and they don't feel like drinking, they don't have to just get a Coke or something, they can have something fun too. And it's like you said, it's that extension from the plate. If someone's coming in for like a really amazing salad, but they want a little something to sip on, but maybe not boozy,
Yeah.
what are they going to get? I myself am not a soda person, but if you make me something really pretty, like not just to look at, but I can tell, I don't mind a little fizz in there, but if there's a
Yeah.
whole thing being created there. So for you, since you said you've created what, like 33 concoctions or something since you started, what is your kind of a, you must have a favorite discovery or two since you started doing this.
Yeah, so amongst just the beverages, I've also kind of worn a lot of hats as we kind of grow this organization from the ground up. So I design the menus, I make the playlists, I do a lot of like the back end operational stuff. But I think my own mistake was making it what's called Tonic of the Week, to start for our first opening months. So I kind of put myself in a position of having to come up with a new drink every week. So hence that 30 something number. And I think I touched on a couple interesting flavors, and they were all successful. I never had to throw anything out, or there was never a failed experiment, so to say. But I recently changed the format of the menu to be more like a static kind of like cocktail and wine list. So you have your cocktails, Vitality Tonics, and you have your wine list, which is our coffee and tea selection. And we go into detail about tasting notes and, where they come from and who harvests them. Sourcing is really important for us, across the board when it comes to the farms, the people who are growing the tea, how they're treated, the coffee. It's all kind of like very closely inspected. So tangent aside, the menu is now in a place where it's like a little bit more static. And I think the thing I'm most excited right now about is the milk punch operation I have going on. Obviously, milk punches have had this like kind of renaissance, and
Yeah, I know the whole clarified thing too, just in general, is like everywhere, but I love it, so I don't mind. Every once in a while I'll hear someone say like, oh, everybody's got to have a clarified something, or their punch on the menu, and I'm like, So I'm the person that they're doing that for. I will totally try those.
And they've
So,
always been around, it's it is interesting how it's just recently kind of had this big explosion. But I have been using coffee as my base and really thinking about, okay, this coffee comes from Ethiopia. It is processed a certain way. The fermentation is a certain way. It tastes this way. I'm going to build out the punch based on the flavors of this coffee. And so, for example, the coffee we're using right now has like kind of notes of like strawberry and citrus. So I'm making a milk punch with coffee, yuzu, strawberry, and basil. And
Ooh,
it
nice.
comes out like light ruby red, and you taste the coffee, the strawberry, the citrus, and it's kind of like a mind trip for people because I think they see coffee in the description, they're like, okay, it's gonna come out like
It's gonna
black,
look like a
and
coffee, yeah.
it's just someone's gonna like muddle strawberries and coffee together, and it's a little more, involved than that, but I love that sort of subversion of expectations, and that's what I'm most excited about right now.
That's amazing too, because it's also teaching people things, it expands their mindset around what that drink could be, like what coffee can become. And that's something I absolutely love. In the last year and a half or so, I have had my mind blown by a couple drinks lately. And it's been those kinds of things where someone is like, it like savory cocktails, right? And I've seen the options where these are the our cocktails that can be NA. So that's been really great for too, because I'm like, well, guess what? I want to try a bunch of these so I can get the NA options and then a couple of the alcohol options and not die at the end of the night, or not have to give up the drinks, like just drink a little bit of it and then pass it on. I can like drink the whole thing and then just run for the bathroom afterwards, but it's there have been some of those drinks where I'm just like, okay, they said there was like miso in there and they said there was this in there, and I tried it and I'm like, I totally get those flavors and I never expected something to turn out like this. Love that. So you also have the advantage of being in Southern California where produce and of the is like so readily available and gives you a lot of options to experiment with, I would think.
That's again a big part of what we do. It's like I've alluded to, a very small space. We don't have a walk-in. Our hotline consists of three induction burners in a row. We have one oven. We're all really packed in there like sardines. So we don't really get to we don't have the luxury of like prepping ahead of time. We have a buyer who goes to the Santa Monica Farmers Market for us. He's like, hey, this is what's here this week. What do you want
What
me
do
to
you
bring
think?
out? And he brings it and we prep it, and that's it. I mean, we talked a little bit about sort of like the greenwashing of the farm to table phrase last time, and I think now, even last time, I was tooting my own horn a little bit, like, oh, like we really walk the walk when it comes to farm. But now I really am, because like we really just get a truck from a farm and we make what we make with it.
Well, I would think too, just because of the fact that you're in a place that's so small and you are getting what you're getting, that you really have to make good use of everything you get. It's
Absolutely.
probably making you be more sustainable than you maybe even anticipated you would be.
Yeah, I mean we brew coffee, obviously. Anything that's left over, I will put into the milk punch. I use the grounds to make another drink on the menu. The scraps from the yuzu goes into a dust we use for one of the cocktails. So yeah, it really that is the thing I will give credit to Campfire for. Upcycling and waste reduction was a big part of what we did there. And again, that's something I'll always carry with me, is trying to reduce waste whenever possible.
Yeah, and if you're in that small space, it's really helpful to be able to do that, use the
Yeah,
last bit and everything. You
totally.
mentioned playlist earlier, so I have to ask, you're still playing in a band, right? Yeah. Is it
Still Drug
still
Hunt.
Drug Hunt? Yay. All
Yeah, we
right.
just wrapped up our full length. We've done many records in the past. This is our first one that I think is over three or four songs. So, yeah, exciting stuff.
I think since, again, there will probably be a lot of people here who didn't hear about this the first time, you got to go a little bit into Drug Hunt. So, when did Drug Hunt come into existence? Tell us the story of Drug Hunt.
Well, we're gonna go back a long ways for this.
That's perfect, because usually I need to know like when you first started playing music.
Yeah, I met Rory and Jason, the two other kind of primary musicians in the band in high school, my band that I was in, I band might be a bit of a stretch. It was me and another guy.
Just jamming in the garage.
Well, I was playing synthesizer, he was playing drums. We had sort of like a lightning bolt thing going on. It's just like really loud, and I don't know, I can't even tell you what it sounded like, but it was us. And then Rory and Jason had their other band, and we met during that battle of the bands, and struck up a friendship from there. And that was, gosh, maybe almost 15 to 17 years ago now. So
Wow.
over the years, we've
Wow.
stayed together. We've gone through different names, different countless bassists and drummers and formations. But the Drug Hunt, as we know it, has probably been around for 7 or 8 years now.
Wow.
And here we are.
So tell, like, what does the band play? I mean, I've listened, it's been ages, and I seem to remember it being like kind of like trippy psych rock kind of stuff. Is it
Yeah.
still, that's kind of where it's at?
Yeah, I think just like any other musical outfit, the more years you spend doing it, the more your identity you kind of figure out.
Of like
But just
shifting in.
to summarize, I think, I always kind of bring up like Black Sabbath and Motorhead as sort of like driving inspirations, but there's also, some a lot of Latin influence. We always talked about Mars Volta last time. So I don't know. I think you could call it 70s British metal, kind of heavily inspired, but lots of like Latin flair.
Latin flair. I don't remember that at all. I feel like we did not talk about that. How is there Latin flair in there?
Well, Rory is from Chiapas. He's the main songwriter in the group, and I think whether it's sort of like the rhythmical choices that we make or sort of like, I don't know, his like angular style of guitar playing, to me it feels like salsa, but like salsa through a British metal lens, if that sort of makes sense.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that we did talk about Mars Volta last time, and that's the Omar is Mexican, if I remember correctly, right? His
Right.
whole label and
Well, I think
everything.
technically Puerto Rican, but
Is it?
they grew up in El Paso
Oh,
together.
okay. Yeah, so I knew there was a Latin flair there, but I'm just curious about, like, does Rory ever have you guys li listening to Latin music as like inspiration, or you just hear it in there? Because you're in Southern California, so you're kind of
Yeah.
surrounded by styles.
I mean, me personally growing up, Selena and Gloria Estefan were like, a kind of heavy rotation for my mom. She was not at all of Latin descent, but like to th think that she was. So we listened to a lot of that kind of music. And I don't know, I don't think it's so much as like a overt concerted effort to bring in that influence, but I think just culturally,
It's just
living
been
in Southern
around.
California, we're just kind of like in that culture. And whether
It
it's
just
like kind
sinks
of the
in.
more like low rider, like soul music vibe, or whether it's more like the Fania All Stars like stuff, or the Vicente, it's like Latin culture, Mexican music, Latin American music is just around you here, whether you're aware of it or not.
Funny because my childhood was like similar. I remember I'd hear all the rock and roll and then all the Latin music, so I can
Yeah.
totally see how those things could infiltrate each other without anyone being aware of it. It's just
Yeah.
what you're used to and everything. So
And
what
I
kind
think
of
someone who's a little more scholarly on the subject could probably like really break that down and what the connections are. But I gotta be honest, Mo, like I listen to more podcasts than I do music these days. I just like I don't know.
You're getting old, Nick.
I know, it's so funny. I was just talking about that with Sophie, my girlfriend. We were like, man, like, is the podcast like our parents' version of the evening news? Like, are we, is this our version of getting older? Here we are.
It's interesting too, and I've had this conversation before. It's like, when we were growing up, there's the I know there's still kind of the monoculture, but it feels so fast. compared to when you're growing up and you have a radio station to listen to, and it's kind of the only radio station, or that there's one that's the alternative station, one that's the rock station, one that's the Latin station, one that's the country station. So you know exactly what you're getting from place to place,
Yeah.
but you walk into a shop and you're hearing the same stuff. So everybody kind of has similar touchstones. Whereas right now, I feel like there's so many touchstones that it's like, oh, have you seen the guy on TikTok? And if you know about the guy on TikTok that week, you're totally cool. But next week, it's a new guy on TikTok. Then the week after
Yeah.
that, it's a cat on TikTok, you
I
know?
agree. Things move just very quickly these days.
Very, very quickly. So, but what's interesting is in that conversation, and this is to get back to what you're doing, is the NA thing is something I've seen just steadily growing. And of course, we've seen trends, drink trends pop up because of socials, the socials, like TikTok. Like, what is the, I'm forgetting the drink from last year with the name that I can't pronounce.
Sbagliato?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, someone
Stunning.
mentioned, yeah, I didn't do it. You said it. Somebody mentioned it on a TikTok or something. And then all of a sudden, all the kids wanted that. And that happened during the course of the year. But I do know that the NA stuff is something that has also been popping up and all that. So I'm like, okay, if it pops up and sticks, then maybe we have a chance at
Yeah.
monoculture
I've been aware of that this could just be a flash in the pan. Maybe this is something that would just kind of fade into obscurity, just like some other drink trends or
know.
drinks in particular. But I kind of don't feel that way. I
I
think,
don't at all. I mean,
yeah, I
they've
think
talked for a
it's.
while about how kids today, there's like, I don't know if it's the millennials or Gen Z, maybe Gen Z, like that there was a lot of fear because they weren't drinking as much as like the older kids, and that, oh, we're gonna miss out on, making the money from this group because they're not drinking, because they're into cannabis, they want to vape, whatever.
Sure.
But I think that we've seen that offering NA means if someone is more into smoking or vaping or whatever, but they still want to go out and have fun with their friends, then they can stand outside and vape and come in and have an NA cocktail, and their friends might have a regular cocktail. I think it's
Yeah.
balancing out, all that.
Absolutely. I think what this all comes down to is like hospitality and these spaces that we traditionally have been serving drinks inside of. They're, cliche perhaps, but they are gathering spaces for the community. And what the community does, maybe in 15, maybe in 5 years from now, maybe it's going to be mushrooms, or
Yeah, right.
maybe it's going to be nothing. And I don't know. I think, yes, like a business needs to have like revenue per square foot, and you need to like find ways to just pay your rent. But at the end of the day, I think things are going to change, and what the job is of the proprietor of a space is to just understand what the community is seeking and looking for and find the best way to provide that space for them.
Yeah.
I would want to give a shout out to my friend Bryant Orozco, who is doing Barnuda up in LA.
Ah.
Massive NA cocktail pop-up, and he's really like channeling his like Mexican heritage into it and being a guy from Sonora. So yeah, I don't know. I just the more I see, the more I'm convinced that this isn't a passing fad, and it's really just sort of like a shift in the culture.
There was a bar, an NA bar that opened up here in LA quite a few years ago. And I remember reading about it and thinking, oh, wow, that's interesting. I wonder if it's going to stick. And it didn't. I can't remember the name of it, but I think it was just ahead of its time.
Sure.
Because in the years since, there's been a lot of movement towards, yes, we have an NA section, and it's not just, ginger ale with some syrup in it, or, fruit juice with bubbles in it. It's not, it's more than just that. And there's also now there are some of those alternatives out there if people want to use Seed Lip or Ritual or things like that. Are you using anything like that in what you do?
That's an interesting question. I'm not, and I think it's intentional on my part. And this kind of goes back to this sort of being a burgeoning category. I think about sort of the different schools of thought when it comes to cocktail methodology. You have like the Milk and Honey kids, you have the Death and Co kids, and the New York and the West Coast. And they're sort of like these different I don't know, like schools that you attend and learn from, and the way you like build your recipes. And I think what we're going to see in the NA space is sort of over time, there's going to be sort of like a differentiation of like, what is like the style of cocktail we're doing? Are we sort of replicating spirits and replicating cocktails that already exist? Or are we sort of creating things that are outside of like a facsimile of something that already exists? And there's nothing wrong with either approach, but I think what makes the most sense for me in my particular project right now is to sort of really lean into the culinary and produce side of things and not so much use like the spirit substitutes, which, you know, I'm really fascinated by the category. I think it has a couple years to go before
Oh,
some of these
yeah.
products are really tasting the way they need to.
Yeah.
So yeah, long story short, I think for me, I identify more with the side of things where it's like, let's create something that's like novel and interesting and exists in its own idea and identity instead of trying to recreate something that already exists.
Yeah, I've compared it when talking to people of like fake meat. You know, it's someone wanting to have Impossible Burger as opposed to just going the tofu route and doing a lot of seasoning and maybe frying it a certain way so it has a different texture and things like that. And I'm curious too, because like say there's like the Seed Lips, right? And they're not claiming to be a gin alternative necessarily, but they'll be, well, this is our herbal concoction, you know. Or there's some other ones that are, you know, just made of other ingredients where they're saying, okay, we're establishing like that mouthfeel for these things. We're creating a different kind of like a beverage, sort of. They're not, you know, they're trying to steer clear of saying it's a spirit because it's not a spirit, but it still fall into that category of like it's an alternative something. You know, and I find it interesting. I'm with you. I'm curious to see where it's going to be in a couple of years because it's just, I feel like it's grown so quickly in the last even just 3 years. I think there have been so many more alternatives in that world to just mix with, you know, should one choose to mix with mix. And who knows, there could be some things there that are not trying to be a spirit, but have an interesting quality to them that would be fun to pour into something like that. But I also love the idea of just starting from scratch. It's like making a soup or something, or making dessert. You're just, this is like, this is my dessert. It's this cocktail, this NA cocktail that we're making for you. And I love that so much.
Yeah, I think a lot of my style when it comes to cocktails has a lot, and maybe this is like my music background, but you want to create something that has its own identity and, you know, sort of like bringing a, I don't have kids, but like, you know, you have your kid and like you want it to like be confident in the clothes that it's wearing. And like if it's with other kids on a menu, like they're all kind of like dressed the same way and like their outfits make sense together. And I always just think about things in that sort of way where it's like I want there to be a cohesive message or identity between the individual items and themselves. So that's the way I'm choosing to go about it this time. Who knows? Like I might get inspired by some products I come across in the future, but for now, I'm just like I have a Michelin star chef staring at the back of my head every day, so I'm gonna do my best to make some really interesting things and not rely on some existing products, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I love it. I can't wait to get down there and try these things. It's super exciting for me because I just love the creativity that goes into it. And just, I think maybe that's something with the someone who is truly creating NA cocktails, they're excited about it because it still feels very new and fresh. And you know, it sounds like, oh, wait until we have like modern classics that are NA classics. You know, there's like
I
a
love that.
couple, you know, what's going to be the penicillin in the NA world that gets picked up and, you know, people start putting on their menus all over the place. And I think we're entering, like you were saying, we're entering a time where that's a possibility, you know,
Absolutely.
it's going to
I love
start
that
happening.
idea. That's really cool.
Yeah. So, okay. I always ask this question. I asked of you last time, and it may not be the case right now, but any drinks that you've created that have musical names or anything like that may not fit with where you're at right now.
So the because I have to have a naming convention with anything I do, the way the menu is right now, it's anything that's carbonated is named after a physical place where the ingredients come from or are they kind of invoke that feeling. Well, and the still drinks are named after like textures or colors or patterns. So Right now, there's Ruby, which is the coffee strawberry milk punch. There's Flamingo, which is like a shade of pink, the sort of like the fermented guava drink. And there's Emerald, which is the spirulina, jicama, lemongrass, lime leaf cocktail.
That sounds yummy.
So they're all like these bright, vibrant colors, and they're named after like patterns or textures, and the carbonated ones are named after places. So I don't
Doesn't
think
really lend to it at this
good
time.
faith answer your musical question.
That's okay. Yeah, I have to say, this is the first time anyone has ever told me that they actually have instituted a naming convention for their drinks. More often than not, people are like, oh, that's the hardest part. It's so tricky to come up with names. But I kind of love that you've done that because it's given you like pick from this column, pick from that column. It kind of narrows it down for you a little bit, but keeps it interesting.
Yeah, and I think when you come see the space too, like Chef Andrew's wife, Laura, did an incredible job kind of like curating a vibe in there. It feels very worldly and international, and there's lots of lush plant life everywhere. And I wanted the menu on the drink side to sort of like be transportive in that way, where you think of like terracotta and you're like, oh, I know what that feels like and what that looks like. Or you think of Philadelphia, like, oh, that's like where root beer's from. So I just wanted everything to be a little transportive on the menu. But yeah, nothing that is specifically musically named, but
Totally okay.
I will work on that.
Well, you don't have to for this one. You've got a whole nother space that you're going to be beverage directing for soon, hopefully. I mean,
Yes.
I'm assuming that's going to take a while still, right, for Chicken Hawk.
We've gotten through the biggest hurdles. We have permits from the city. Right now, it's really just kind of raising a little bit more money and then we can start construction. But the hardest part is over. And I feel like middle of this year, fingers crossed, knock
I
on
was
wood.
going to say summertime. I'm going to knock.
Yeah,
I get
that's what we're looking for.
when I get down there for Father's Day, that should be a place I could take my dad. So let's get on
I'll save a seat for you
it. I'll shoot Tony Hawk a Instagram and be like, hey, dude. I
guys.
can't remember if he went to, I don't think he went to high school there. Not in Encinitas anyway. I forget.
I know he went to Torrey Pines for a little bit,
Yeah, he was my
and
rival. That's why. My dad taught at San Dieguito. So your girlfriend might have had my dad as a teacher.
okay, I'll have
I'm going to talk about that at some point. But yeah,
yeah.
well, that's got to be super exciting that that's coming down the pike. Now, Drug Hunt, you just said that you guys finished up a band or finished up a new album. That's more than three or four tracks. Yes, and remind me what you play in the band.
I
Or
play
not keys. You
keyboards.
do keys. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was
Little
just that.
percussion, little background vocals, but yeah, primarily keyboards.
Okay, I knew you played keys, but I wasn't sure if that was the only thing. So, and what is this album like? What's new about this album? Since you guys have been around for a long time, it's not going to be more of the same, I'm sure.
No, I think this just feels like sort of the most adult, most we put the most effort and organization and like concerted effort into this one. I think a lot of the other ones were like, okay, let's book studio time and
Just go.
just go. And I think another interesting thing about this one is that all of our previous records, we made the creative decision to record straight to tape. And we did it live in a room, kind of like 70s style. So we had to show up, and what we played was what we played. And this time we decided we're going to take a more modern approach and give ourselves the time to do another take if we want, and it's not going to bankrupt us. You know, recording on tape is very expensive, and I think those experiences prepared us to make this record the way we did, which was to take our time a little bit more and like really feel good about every single note and every single word that's being said. And we're going to bring in some really cool guest artists from the community to do some background vocals and percussion and woodwinds and really just kind of like breathe a lot of life into it. So it's not just a performance in a room. This is going to be more of a expansive experience.
Amazing. So you'll have to let us know if you've got any shows coming up or if you're waiting a little bit before you go and do that. I feel like, did you guys play in Joshua Tree and stuff sometimes too? You did some of the desert stuff, I thought. No?
Rory is involved. So Rory is becoming quite the Werner Herzog style guy, where he's directing movies, music
Got
videos, he's
it.
promoting, he's DJing, he's recording. He's sort of like this multidisciplinary artist, and
Yeah.
he's in the desert DJing and throwing
Yeah.
shows, and he's involved in the Desert Days Cruise, so that might be what you've seen. But we haven't played since October at the Casbah was our last show, so it's been a little while.
Well, I'm sure you'll have to dust everything off soon to promote the album. So I've got another question that's a standard question, and this one, don't have to worry about the song. Well, you do have to worry. It's your pairing. It's your current, what are you listening to and what are you drinking, question. Because I can't remember what it
Okay.
was last time. I think it was a natural wine last time because you were like way off on that tip at that point. So
So it's funny. I re-listened, or I kind of scanned through our first episode
I
today.
should have done that. I wish I had time.
Tough listen, let me tell you that. Just
Why?
well, it's
Because we hate
the
to hear our own
ums, and
voices.
I was nervous, and I was rushing, and I've really tried to rein it in this time, but I wasn't prepared for the first time you asked that question, and I think I said I would want to listen to Throbbing Gristle at a pool party in Palm Springs,
That's an awesome answer.
which I'm not mad at it,
So
but
now you're ready.
I guess so it's funny,
No one's ever really ready for that question, so don't worry about it.
I make all the playlists like I kind of mentioned for
Yeah.
Mana. We have like four that we kind of go between. There are like 10 hours each, and one is called Earth and it's all instrumental hip hop. One is called Sky and it's like African psych music, and
Oh,
one is,
nice.
so they're all, I've been, any free time I have to listen to music is basically to like to refresh those playlists, because that's what I have to listen to every day. But I was thinking about this, Mo, and I think the way I want to answer this question is, like, if I could be in any environment drinking anything, listening to anything right now, what would it be?
I like it.
And I had a birthday in December, and it's a tradition to do like a old school steakhouse on my birthday.
I actually do the same thing. I
Oh,
totally
really?
appreciate that. I do. I always joke around. My favorite thing, if I want people are like, what do you want for your birthday? I'm all steak.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I think, to answer that question, it would be like a old school steakhouse with a red velvet booth. I want to be drinking a gin martini and listening to Tammy Wynette.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's
just like
awesome. I was
some
not
country.
expecting her. I'm like, I feel like I know where this is going. And then you like, boom, pulled Tammy on. Oh, that's wonderful.
Stand by our
Love
man.
it. Well, on that note, go ahead and list the socials wherever people can find you or find the band. Just rattle those things off. And yeah, that way people can stalk you online.
Cool. Well, I hope I improved on my performance from last time. It was really fun talking to you, Mo. And I can't wait to have you back in Leucadia. You can
I'll
find me
be there
on
soon.
Instagram at Nick Makes Drinks. Very easy. We are on Instagram for Mana at Mana Leucadia. And you can find us there. The concept may stay as a brunch. We may kind of transition more into oysters and wine. We're keeping it very open-ended there, so stay tuned about what happens there. And Chicken Hawk is chick dot and dot hawk on Instagram. And yeah, we're very excited to build some cool stuff for this community in North County, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it was super exciting talking with you again.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman, giving all your love to just one man.
All right, a lot of information there. Currently, the non-alcoholic stuff that Nick is making is being made at Atelier Mana. That's at Mana, M-A-N-N-A, underscore, Leucadia. And that is Nick at Nick Makes Drinks. Both those handles on Instagram. Coming soon, there will be another space where Nick will be the beverage director, and this will feature both alcoholic and non-alcoholic spots. It's Chick and Hawk opening soon in my hometown of Encinitas, and on Instagram, that is at chick.and.hawk. Hawk. So I want to follow that as well. And then, of course, there's the band, Drug Hunt, at Drug Hunt Band. And do you think we would end the show without letting you hear some of that? Absolutely not. So here is Drug Hunt. After all, he's just a man. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at themermaidla.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SHEBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.